for women and children in crisis since 1955. There's been a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care and where lives have been changed and are being changed. That's at the Evangel Home of Fresno. And thanks for joining us for the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. This is Heartline with your host, Jim Tuck.
Thanks, Ken Adams. We appreciate, as always, your taking our conversation, turning it into a radio program, and our radio stations, who are so diligent to put the program on the air when it's time to do that, so our listening friends can hear what God's doing at Evangel Home. Jerry, we're still under construction here a little bit, although we don't know that we will be by the time this program airs, but I hadn't thought about the beginning of construction. We were just talking off mic about how you had to kind of transition the women through the crisis home, and you trickled them out because you couldn't do construction while they're living here.
I don't think, Jim, we had really thought that part of it through either, because the under construction part ultimately is about the women. They are the beings that are under construction. So while our building has been under construction, we've not been able to take any in the crisis home. That has now been since the first week of May, basically. The woman who lived here, we allowed to stay here for a while.
There's a doorbell that wants in.
We even had to put signs at those doors saying, sorry, there's no one in this building. You know, call us and we'll come over, because we were next door. The office people have had to be in other buildings also. So as the crisis home women in May, as their time was up and they were kind of all leaving fairly close together, we did not then fill up the home. We couldn't bring anybody else in. Mm-hmm. Between the noise and the materials that were used, and then the entire inside of the building was wrapped in plastic. To get into the offices, you had to zipper up things and zip them down. That would not have worked for a woman coming in here. So what we did then, and our guest today, Melinda, is applying for Crossroads. So rather than say, we'll go away for a while and come back and we'll start over, we allowed her to live in an apartment during this time, and then she's now applying for the program. Hmm. She's not in it, but she's living in an apartment.
Okay. Well, Melinda, why did Evangel Home come into your reality? How did that chapter come about?
On April 5th, I became homeless. My friend just could no longer keep me and my kids. So my sister called around for me because I didn't know what to do. And so she looked up on the internet and actually found the Evangel Home on the internet and called me and said, call them now. I talked to Joe Janelle and she told me to come in. I wasn't able to make it on the 5th, so I came in on the 6th in the afternoon, and they told me, you know, you've got chapel and you've got chores, and I was like, okay, go for it, bring it on. So
tell me about your kids.
I have a 5-year-old named Caleb. He was born on August 8th, and then I have a 1-year-old Bentley who was born on August 9th. They are amazing little boys. Caleb is very, very smart, just finished kindergarten. He's now my first grader.
Wow. And how old are you?
I am 24.
What was going on in your world? You weren't working?
No, I wasn't working. I looked for work. It just wasn't happening. I don't think I was trying as hard as I should have. I was caught up in my addictions and my depression and in grieving over my dad's death. So it was like, okay, all these things happening at once, and then there was other issues going on with one of my son's dads, so trying to work through that all wasn't happening.
I want to jump in right now, Jim, because we shared last week about I just was at a convention in Phoenix, mm-hmm. of rescue mission folks throughout the country, and I shared about the keynote speakers and how they were all very powerful, Anne Graham Lotz, Richard Blackaby, John Perkins. No matter how different they are, their message was the same. Mm-hmm. And part of that message was, people out there in mission land and ministry land, you might be more sophisticated, you might have better programs than you used to, you might have better money, but guess what? Your people are coming with worse problems. Mm-hmm. And I think Melinda is a perfect example of that. She's 24 years old. The litany, the list of things she just rattled off about what was wrong with her life, 40 years ago, I think that would have been unheard of, mm-hmm. to have that many issues and be 24. And those three keynote speakers were so right. Our people are coming with worse problems. None of the programs are going to help them. None of the money is going to help them if we don't keep Jesus at the center, mm-hmm. of all that we're doing. So mm-hmm. it's my Jesus commercial.
Yeah, no, you know, we pray before we turn the mic on that may Jesus be praised as a result of what we talk about here. So how long did you live a life of addiction?
To be brutally honest, I started at 11 years old.
How did that happen?
There was a lot going on in my life.
Okay, you need a minute to catch yourself.
It's a good story, though, because an 11-year-old that starts that way, it's never their own choice.
Yeah, something serious was going on in the environment, I'm guessing. That's almost always the case. Can we come back to that?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you find when you got to Evangelum? Was it what you expected?
It was nothing like I expected. I was thinking, okay, wall-to-wall beds. You know, when you think
dormitory.
Yeah, when you think homeless shelter, that's what you picture. I walked in with that pink door. So I saw that pink door, and I was like, oh, wow, that's a really pretty door. Pink's my favorite color, so I was all excited. But I walked through that door, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a home. This isn't what I was expecting at all. Everyone was welcoming. Everyone was nice. And when they said chapel, I was like, oh. Because I wasn't – my thing back then, just a couple months ago, and for a while now, I was really struggling with my faith. And so I was like, great, this is going to be not good. But then I started going to chapel, and it was just like – it was amazing. It was truly, truly amazing. Every chapel spoke to me one way or another, and just touched me. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, God, you're there. You've been there all along. And I've just been too blind to realize it. It was amazing, though. It's an amazing place to be.
Yeah, not institutional, which is what people tend to think about maybe when they consider what would a program be.
And people on our board still keep asking me if we have to keep the door pink.
Yes, we do.
Nice. I like that. Can we talk about when you're 11?
Yes, okay. I was... sexually abused as a child, and he actually did it to a total of 18 girls, and he was actually a neighbor of mine. So smoking cigarettes, smoking marijuana, and huffing was my way of kind of masking the fact that it was actually happening. It was like I was in denial that it wasn't happening. My dad was really, really sick. He had open heart surgery just a couple years prior to that, but was still having heart attacks and what they call mini strokes. My mom was in her depression, like a deep, deep depression. Slept a lot. My brother was physically abusive towards me. Always beat me up. Choked me to the point of passing out. I was going through a lot.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Did you get help with that at any point before you came here?
I ended up in foster care at 12. And when you're in foster care, you automatically have to go to counseling. But I never really took it seriously. So I just was like, I sat there and just, whatever, life sucks.
Like most 12-year-olds would do.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a paper in front of you. It says Crossroads Applicant. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking I'm getting into this program so I can fix myself and I can not turn to alcohol or drugs to make me feel better. I can turn to God.
Okay. Now, Jerry, talk about the process. It's been delayed of the construction here.
Several months, yes. And plus that we had activities. I do want to backtrack to Amazing Race a little bit because Melinda was part of that, and it's like – But the process usually is the women who come to the crisis shelter are here for a couple of weeks. And I apologize for that doorbell. Someone is trying to get our attention.
They've got mine.
They got mine, and I'm totally forgetting what I'm talking about. Anyway, we take almost everyone in the crisis home unless they are loaded when they come in or they're violent or have really bad mental issues. But to get next door into the program, there's a whole different process. To come to the crisis shelter, one woman on duty, the house manager, does an intake process and says yes or no. To get next door, the women go through all sorts of hoops. They go to classes, they go to counseling. They are looked at in a whole different way than when they first come in here. And one of the things we've discovered, Jim, is that no matter what a woman says about her relationship with Jesus, who she is in the crisis home is largely who she's going to be next door. So if we have a woman who comes in here who is just as bad a person as you can think of, whatever, but she's honest and she's really focusing on herself, she'll probably be okay next door and she won't create all the waves. Mm-hmm. If you have someone who comes in here and is playing games and we know they're lying and you see all of that, even though they say they're accepting Jesus, mm-hmm. chances are, even if they have, they are still going to be lying and doing those things while they work things out. And that's usually the kind of person we say no to. Mm. If you're creating all sorts of havoc in the crisis home and all of a sudden you say you're not going to, probably you really are going to. And so we really weigh that one heavily at that point.
Believe it or not, we got a minute or so. let's talk about Amazing Race. Did you have any fun?
Oh, I had a lot of fun. It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. That's a good title for it.
What'd you do?
I did a lot of things. My favorite day was Woodward. We had to all stand in this circle, and we had to lay down and put our objects behind our neck and then come back up and without stepping foot outside of the circle, somehow get our object. And we all came together and all got our objects. We held each other and just up off the ground they got their object and pulled it into the circle. It was awesome.
It's funny because when she says that her favorite day was that, and I realize a lot of people are listening, think, what are you talking about? What's a Woodward and what's a... Well, for every day of the week, we did different activities. Yes. And on the last day, we go to Woodward Park. And Sarah, who's one of our part-time staff members who used to be here more part-time, she does trust building exercises and all sorts of things that the women agree Friday is a wonderful day, but they know that if we tried that on Monday, it wouldn't work because they would not be coming together and making an idea and encouraging each other. They would be arguing and fighting and saying that we were crazy to even be thinking that they would be doing this. So that stretch is really fun. And I think even when the day we go out to a horse ranch, and the women have to groom a horse and they get to ride a horse, the trust things are being built that day also.
Mm. So you're applying for Crossroads, which if we have listeners who don't know what's going on here, it's a 9-month-long life skills training program with a lot of classes and accountability and independent living to a degree in the apartment building next door to the crisis shelter. Nice to meet you, Mom.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you. I know it's difficult, but thanks for sharing your life. And my listening friend, if you have questions or need help, give us a call at 264-4714. And Ken's going to wrap this up. You'll get that information again. Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
And I'm happy to let you know that anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, you can find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. Pretty simple to remember, evangelhome.org. That phone number again in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.